This topic is 10, 11, and 12, and I'll turn the meeting over to our first speaker, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Elizabeth and I'm an addict.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I'm about to crawl out of my skin. I get real nervous when I have topics, and I get real nervous with microphones. Because I'm always afraid I'm going to say something wrong, or I'm going to fail the test, or whatever. So if I say something that offends you, or you have trouble with, call your sponsor, or get a sponsor. Or you can tell them, I don't know. Like, whatever comes out of my mouth, people taught me. From in here. Mm-hmm. So, all I know is what I've learned. That's the sum of, And nobody ever does anything except for is the best idea they can come up with at the time. Anyway. So by the time I get to 10, I've probably done some work, let's hope. I've become very aware of character defects because, those pop up all the time. And, the whole idea of taking a personal inventory every day, I kind of had started doing it before I even got there because I was just keeping an eye on things and, checking things out. And, if I'm praying for something, I'm increasing my awareness of it, and so I'm going to notice it more actively. So even in 7, when I started saying, you're kind of impatient, you drive like a dickhead, and whatever, I'd start noticing these things only because I'm bringing it to the forefront of my consciousness. Like, praying is an action word. When I pray about it, I'm starting to think about it. I'm starting to notice it. And they say, be careful what you pray for, okay? When I pray for patience, I realize I'm very impatient all day long, but that's because I'm actually noticing it. I just didn't notice that I was an impatient asshole before, or it didn't matter to me, but now I'm trying to actually improve myself a little bit. So the whole personal inventory thing, I do an inventory sometimes at noon, or I do an inventory when I catch myself, or I do an inventory when I'm feeling good, and I do an inventory when I'm feeling bad. And sometimes, I do an inventory and I was wrong, and I'm not going to promptly admit it, thank you very much, because I'm not ready, because I'm not that well, and it's all my perception, and I might perceive, I'm not going to make an amends to that because I was wronged initially, and which is the wrong way to go about it, but my perception is that that's totally okay. And then my perception changes, and I think, you really were quite an asshole, and you really did you owed them an amends. You owed them an apology. Sometimes I can catch it right away. Sometimes I don't catch it right away. And the other thing about, doing an inventory is, I am never, ever, ever going to be perfect. Ever. I'm never going to have a perfect morning. I'm never going to have a perfect afternoon. I am never going to be a spiritual giant or any of that. It's not going to happen. And one of the things about doing an inventory, I could do an inventory and slice myself to ribbons, which is what I used to do when I was using. And I don't do that anymore. When I was using, I hated my guts. I didn't want to be here. I would go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and be like, why didn't you take me out of here? I don't want to fucking be here. I hate me. And I made me sick. And I don't feel like that anymore. And one of the things about doing any kind of an inventory is I have to leave myself alone. I am allowed to be fallible. Now, I choose to try to fuck up at a higher level. I think that's a good goal, I have the privilege of fucking up at a higher level because I'm still alive, and I'm not using. And I was talking to somebody before this, and we were talking about, because he got clean when he was 40-something, and I got clean when I was 35, and that was midlife crisis or whatever, but I'm old, but I have the privilege of getting old. I should be dead or I should be in prison for a really, really long time. And what would be even worse is if I was still using and alive. Because I know how miserable that was. Even thinking about it sometimes makes me, I don't have to live like that ever again. As long as I stay clean today. The person who has the longest clean time today is the one who got up the earliest. You know, I'm a drinker a drug away. I'm an arm length away. You know, I protect myself. So again, personal inventory. Am I doing stuff that's skeevy? Did I tell a lie? Did I tell a lie by omission? Because if I'm sneaking, there's something wrong with what I'm doing. I should be brave enough to live in my truth. And I should be proud to live in my truth. So if I'm getting skeevy, that's headed towards relapse. I'm professional at skeevy. I'm professional at dishonesty. I was a total professional drug addict. Like all the bad habits. So I have all these bad habits, and then I get clean, and like, oh, I'm supposed to have all these good habits all of a sudden, and I'm going to have this shining halo and never do anything wrong. Like, that doesn't happen. And like, I still have the tools somewhere in here that I had when I was using. But I've created a habit of not using them. That does not mean they are not available to me. I can rummage around in that toolbox and pull out some nasty stuff. And when I'm doing an inventory, if I'm looking at like the steps, it's like, well, that really wasn't that bad. That was just a little skeevy. And like the next week, it's like, well, that was a little skeevier. And the next week, it was like, that was totally fucking dishonest, and you're an asshole. And like on and on and on. And like I have to do the inventory because I notice what's going on. Now again, that changes with my perception, you know. And I need my perception to shift because my perception when I got clean was completely not founded in reality. My whole world was tunnel vision. It was figure out how to get stuff for tomorrow to use while you're using today, because God forbid, panic stricken, you know, like it was a job. So, I totally lost my train of thought. Son of a bitch. Okay. Fuck. All right. So anyway, so I have all this skeevy stuff, so I'm good at it. So I have to be aware when I do take that one step. Because it's one step in the wrong direction. And I know that path. That path was ingrained in me for 22 years. So I'm good at it. Like I just now got to be clean as long as I was using. Just now. And that's not like, look, I've got 22 years clean, quote unquote. I probably have 7 or 8 years in recovery because we all fluctuate back and forth. Nobody's in recovery all the time. And I remember someone told me that a long time ago, and I was like, thank God, because I'm not, you know, I'm not, I was aspiring to something that's just really impossible, you know, and I got to cut myself a break. So again, I got to leave me alone. You know, I don't slice myself up. And no matter what, how much of a horrific, however I screwed up that day, I can pick out the positives because I have developed a habit of picking out the positives. And I was taught to do that when I went through the whole 7-step and like your assets and your defects. I have a sheet of paper that's like this big and it has 6 columns of assets and defects. And I'm like every single one of them. So on any given day, I can have 25 assets floating around and 35 defects or 35 assets and 15 defects or whatever. And being able to look at it, honestly, and sometimes I'll call my sponsor and like, I did this, what do you think of that? You know, just because I need guidance. Was it really as skeevy as I think, or was it okay? And usually, you know, it probably wasn't. Well, that's what she'll tell me. But at least I'm noticing it. You know, I don't live in like a void anymore. You know, and like I'm, you know, getting clean was the best thing I ever did in my entire life, just for me to help me figure out how to handle me, and to live some semblance of a life worth living. And I mean, like I love waking up in the morning. I'm getting old. Like I said, I'm a member of AARP. What the fuck? Like that's what responsible people, like little old ladies, do and shit. But I'm not a little old lady yet, you know. But I'm working on it. You know, my goal is to be in a meeting somewhere at like 7,000 years old, whacking motherfuckers with a cane because they're on their cell phones. That is what I want to do. Like that's, I mean, and that will be okay because that's what I'm supposed to do. So anyway. Don't get cell phones at a whole nother different meeting. So I do this daily moral inventory, and you know, the morals change. I had no morals when I got here. I had no values when I got here. The morals and values that I have now are the ones that I learned when I was a child, but I buried them because they did not serve me in the using. I could not be kind to people. I could not be honest. I could not, it would have gotten in the way of what I needed to do, which was to figure out a way to get high. So I could not use, I couldn't use them. I didn't want to know about them, so I just buried them away. And it's, it turns out, like, I have actually a moral compass. Like, check it out. But, like, I forgot about it. And I couldn't, well, I didn't even forget about it. I couldn't afford to pay attention to it. Because I was already busy slicing myself up. So if I focus on the fact that, like, well, you really are a completely immoral human being and you're actually kind of foul, you know, I had to put a gun in my mouth a long time ago. You know, and like, I don't wake up in the morning and want to put a gun in my mouth anymore. You know, I have a friend who's like, thank God you didn't have a pistol when you were using, because you wouldn't be here. And it's like, you're probably right. So I do all the step work up to 10. I've made some amends to people. Some amends I haven't made yet. Some amends I'm not ready to make yet. I try to keep track of how I behave every day. Like, I only did the, what the fuck are you doing? To one person in the car on the way up here. And they were from New York, too. Like, what were they doing driving all slow in the fast lane? I'm like, come on, man. I usually follow you people. So anyway, whatever. They were lost. So I'm doing this inventory, and I'm checking on myself, and then I get to 11. Now, 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact. Again, prayer is an action word. By praying about something, I'm bringing it to the forefront of my consciousness. I'm participating in the fact that I want to notice things about this, whatever this may be, but whether it be impatience or motivation or trying to be more creative or whatever, because I'm praying about it, I'm thinking about it, I'm contemplating it, I'm asking for guidance, therefore I will be more likely to notice little nudges in the right direction because I'm asking for the nudges. I'm asking for them. I'm not just praying like, you know, I mean, yeah, do I say, can I win the lottery? Yes. I swear I'd be a really good addict with all the money. But that's probably never going to happen. You know, because maybe I won't. Maybe I won't. Who knows? You know, I'll go over to Italy where nobody knows me, and they probably have interesting shit over there. Like, who knows? Anyway, so I pray to a God of my understanding. I do not pray to a religious God. I have cussed God out. God did not strike me down with lightning. I have laid on the floor and said, what the fuck do you want from me? I can't do this, sobbing uncontrollably. And I picture in my... I picture in my head that he pats me on the head and says, you need to go to sleep. We'll talk about this tomorrow. And tomorrow, guess what? It's maybe not as bad. It may still be crap. But I didn't use over it. And maybe the next day, it's still not as bad. And it's still not as bad. And eventually it gets okay, and then something else happens, and then, you know, whatever, then I'm back in the same boat, or, you know, however it works out. But, like, my God has my back, and I got to pick him. He looks like an ex-Viking dude who can kick ass, he can still swing an axe, whatever, that's who I choose, and I call him God. And, you know, he has my back and he has my best interests at heart. So when I'm praying for knowledge of his will for me, his will for me doesn't necessarily align with my will for me because, again, my perception is born of all of the sickness back in the disease times and all of the sickness that I haven't worked through yet and all of my imperfections. So God's will for me might be totally different than what I think God's will for me will be. And sometimes I will make suggestions about what I think his will should be for me. And sometimes he takes my suggestions and sometimes he says, nope. You know, and that's okay. But again, I'm praying about something, so I have to be careful that when I'm noticing, like, the hints and the nudges and the whatever, or the feelings in my gut, that I notice when he's saying, I really don't think you should do that. Not only, yeah, you should, but I really don't think you should do that. And I remember, like, the whole spiritual awakening thing when I had 2.5 years clean Apparently, the state of Maryland has suspended my license for 2 years, and they didn't tell me. I was driving all around. I drove down to Convention Ocean City. I drove down to see my grandmother. My grandmother, at this point, who was my one unconditional love besides my dog, couldn't speak and was seized up in a bed. It was being fed. And I was supposed to go to the convention in Atlanta, and then I just kept, and I had all this money from Texas, so I was really rich. And so I'm going to the Atlanta convention. So, and I just kept getting this feeling that I shouldn't go, that I should go see my grandmother, that I should go see my grandmother. So I bailed, and they were all mad at me, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, this is what I need to do. So I was telling her, because she knew I'd been clean before and had failed, and she knew I had gotten clean again, and I was telling her, look, it's all cool. And, you know, she wasn't responding, she can't talk, she can't see, she can't whatever. At one point, I was sitting there reading a book, and she picked up my hand, kissed it, and put it back down. That whole trip was worth all of that. However, I came home, had to put my dog to sleep, my other unconditional love. Then I got a letter in the mail that said, you have to come in, we're going to charge you for driving on suspended. And then they took my license for 2 years. Now, at the time, I mean, it was just a feeling. At the time, I was like, you know, oh my God, and I was going to blow up the DMV and kill the little grandmother who took my license and all that shit. But it took me a while to figure out that was God letting me do what I needed to do before he had to take my license. So I got to take care of some shit that I would not have been able to take care of. So that was like my first spiritual awakening. And like I just keep getting them. And it's like a light bulb and a light bulb and a light bulb. And light bulbs are beautiful. And I hope I keep getting light bulbs for the rest of my life. Like that's my goal. That's why I stay here and I keep doing work. I like light bulbs. Light bulbs are good. Way better than living in the dark. Mm-hmm. So then I get to 12. Okay. Newcomer's the most important person in the room because we can only keep what we have by giving it away, which means I have to give it away. Again, what's coming out of my mouth, somebody taught me. It is my responsibility to pass on what I was so freely given because that's how it works. And you know, sometimes I've given information to my sponsees and guess what? They give it back to me like a year later. And they say, you remember what you told me? And it's like, oh, shit. You know? But that's okay. And okay, the addict who still suffers. Like, I'm supposed to help the addict who still suffers. The addict who still suffers is me. And everybody in this room, everybody's got something cooking. Everybody's always got something going on, whether it's a high bottom problem, low bottom problem, I need food, I can't pay my Mercedes payment, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we all have something going on. And so we're all supposed to share when shit is going good, when shit is going bad, when shit is going medium, and how do we handle it? You know, and I mean, like, I go to meetings because I will hear something in a meeting. Every single meeting I've ever been to, I hear one sentence that I needed to hear. And the reason I hear it is because I'm in the meeting and I'm listening. That's my job. This is my medicine. This is where I get it. Now, I get a lot of stuff from sponsorship. I get a lot of stuff from reading the literature and doing the step work. But, like, the connection with people comes from meetings. And, look, I don't care if it's a Zoom meeting or not. Like, I can Zoom in. I got friends all over the place. And it's beautiful to be able to see their happy, smiling faces on the Brady Bunch squares on a Zoom meeting. You know, because that's a really good way to connect with people. Maybe it's not the same as in person. That's okay. You know, I still am sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and they're sharing it right back with me. And that's the beauty of it, is like we're all each other's eyes and ears, and we help each other. You know, I'm here to be helped, and I'm here to help. Now, even helping someone who's brand new helps me, because you know what? It reminds me of where I was. It reminds me of when I felt that way. It reminds me of how I handled that. So it's not only helping them, it's showing me that, yes, there is actually some growth, because that's something that I have a hard time seeing, is my own growth. You know, I'll usually only notice it 3 or 4 years later, like, well, you actually handled that better than you did like 10 years ago. But I won't pick up on that because I'm not used to patting my own back. I'm used to slicing myself to ribbons. So, like, that's something else that I learned from doing the inventory and praying to God, like, please help me notice some positive shit because it's been a really crappy day. Please help me find some love in my heart for someone that I really want to slap. You know, and that's sorry, but like that's a serious prayer. Like that's a serious prayer. Sometimes, but you know what? I say that prayer way less than I used to because not my circus, not my monkeys. You know, it's not my circus and it's not my monkeys. Like I'm responsible for my good time. I'm responsible for my recovery. I'm supposed to do the things for my recovery that were taught to me to further myself in my recovery. And I can look at it like it's a chore, like, oh God, I got to do step work, then I got to do them all over again, shit. You know, or I can look at it like, how beautiful is that? That, like, I don't hate my guts anymore, and I like helping people, and I wake up and I like my life. And how beautiful is that, that I can increase that? Stop now. Anyway, so Narcotics Anonymous is a beautiful place. There are splendid people in here. Some people you learn what to do, some people you learn what not to do. But as long as we keep coming together and sharing our experience, strength, and hope, like that's how it works. And I love this place. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Larry.
Yeah, there. Good job.
I'm clinging to God's grace in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Y'all can loosen up. First things first, my clean date is 1/21/1984. And this side ain't used today. That's the real news. And I'm an addict that's not nuts. Nuts is not using the steps. And I don't apologize for being a Baltimore area person where you got clean, you had to go to work immediately. I talked to my sponsor this morning before I go right into the topic. Because that's what we do to keep our connection from where we really got it. The members. Because this ain't playtime. You have to really go to work and have the ability to see yourself coming to be in the process of recovery. Anybody can live clean, but sometime through our feelings and emotions, you might be just getting started. So the 10-step process says promptly, which means now.
All right.
Now I'm going to keep it real. Do you actually think that I want to admit that I'm wrong? See, honest Shane touches every member in the room because it's authentic. And here we change our belief systems or you can't move. And for a new addict, my choice of drugs is drugs. I ain't using drugs. I don't want to. I ain't had no drug dreams. And part of the message is killing all reservations. This sometime ain't cute. You have to actually strip down and get to your exact nature. That's why the process through the steps take you to places that you wasn't looking to go. This is from the man from the street to the sea. So, to be entirely ready to do something, you have to almost go down to, in my case, when he was operating out of the little boy, clean. When you say on the block, you say clean. So when you promptly admit, because you got to be around people every day that's really not impressed with you as being a person in your life, you got to be able to have people confront you on no uncertain term, or you won't get no help. They should love you enough to tell you about yourself.
That's right.
And don't care about whether you're going to feel it or not. So promptly admit, see, I'm going to go right to a now situation, because our thing is now. We're recovering today, now. Even though we're in the convention, you're supposed to come to get tools to stay in the healing process. Even you go in the earliest steps, you already got permission from God. Because when you get down to 10, 11, and 12, you really practice. This takes practice. Because the disease don't take time off. So if you think it's a pause in this, that could be a risk when you put yourself way past you apologizing. Because it talks about in the 10th step about having a hole in your gut. And the hole is that you was wrong, and guilt, shame, and embarrassment might creep in, and you might not want to give the apology, but it's sufficient. Because we learn here, if you're trying to do this by yourself, with yourself, you can be trapped. You can be trapped. You're going to be telling yourself, remember, our 11th step says, you got to be careful and not be practicing the same thing that got you in this program in the first place. That's in a prayer and meditation hit. After we pray, get quiet, remove all the stuff out of your life, and if you was questioning whether God got you, you breathing, and everything you want to, you already reported. Mm-hmm. See, that's what the step process do. It moves you to the next part of what we and me supposed to be doing. And you got to operate in the we to get back to the me. And then people got to know you. You got to open up a little bit and don't worry about what they say. They is us. Mm. They got to inventory too. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, or sometimes, you know, like our listener talking about, sometimes we worry about feeling good or looking good. And when you do that, sometimes we cut ourselves off worrying about judgment, jealousy, insecurity, that kind of stuff. Because we don't like to look bad.
That's right.
Yeah, after you get years clean, you ain't going to like to look bad. Well, you don't have to look bad. You just have to feel bad and apologize. And sometimes they talk about in the 10th step about getting on the defense. You know how you make a mistake and get on the D and say, I ain't do it. If I say that I did it and I need to get it right now. So our step process in the maintenance part of the steps help us keep our house in order. We already got permission from God. And then I don't have the right to try to worry about who's practicing and who ain't practicing. That keep you in your inventory process, and then you always had to go back because you assassinated a person that you wasn't supposed to assassinate out of jealousy, angry, and resentment. That's three of the things they told you couldn't have in the step process. You can't have them. I try to be resentment free. I don't know what other people do. I ain't be walking in meetings not liking you because of my issues. Oh. They ain't even your issues. They mine. So they mine, I need to own them. This way after dope, ladies and gentlemen. If you way down in the 10th step process and the 11th step and our 12th step getting on waiting, this ain't got nothing to do with no dope. And you can't put it on that. So it make you go deeper for investigation and, you know, to keep your side of the street in line. So when it get out of whack, you get somebody to come get you. You might not have the ability at that time to even help yourself. See, some of this stuff runs so deep because your life would be good for a period of years. Then you'll lose something or don't have something. Or ain't working the job you was on, ain't got the money you need, and your whole life turn around. And then you got a cop to, this is it. You got to make your own admission. Part of our 11th step process talking about this is the same stuff that we saw in step one. It's a mission that we had to make with God just sometime to keep our sanity. So if you've been mad to the 10th power, now, you got to have a program most of the time. I'm going to say most. Because dealing part of my life through the years, because as you grow, you get challenges. Then one of the things we get out of our 11th step is emotional balance. You have to deal with stuff that you never dealt with in your entire life. You definitely didn't do it on a drug. So when you get emotional balance, you be able to deal with stuff that used to rock your world and drive you out of your mind. Now, here go the other hit. It said physical ailments. See, certain things when we study, you have to put it in there where your life trends in right now. It might not be physical yet. I still do. My doctor still tell me, what you think, you 18? You better come in here. You a diabetic person. See, that's when you get challenged with the just saying, okay, I'm on my way. Because you have to take care of your physical, your mental, and your spiritual when you're in maintenance.
That's right.
Or you can kill yourself. And it always ain't a good look, because sometimes aging is prevalent in recovery. If you stay and not use, you get aging hits. You forget. But being in the 12-step process, we almost have to, as we go in practice, we got to use all our liturgies so we don't get it misconstrued that we run in the show. Because in the How It Works and Why's, it has chapters and passages in there. A passage is when you see different little small print. See, you won't see that if you ain't studying. It says, we have no right to tell people where to work, where to play, how to raise their children. So anytime you might be around, I'm going to take NA risk, around your old lady's children. Which I do, and if your spirit is lined up with God and you do stuff based on ability of this program, you become attraction rather than promotion. And children, pets, and all kind of people be drawn to you because of what you do here. Because you think health first. So it's kind of, sometimes you just ain't going to be able to look good doing this. I had a situation where it wasn't even really an act out, where I was doing some stuff. And I promptly had to admit to the woman where I go at every day, because I was angry to her for her pulling me up about something I did. And then after it passed, I ain't going to pass through you. You knew she was right. So we get better here, and we learn to use the maintenance step to keep our house in order for everything to get crazy and start falling down around you. That don't mean there's nothing wrong with your character. That don't mean you're a bad person. Because sometimes I suffer with a thing called self-righteousness. And I know I ain't the long range in this area. Because you want to be right, then wrong, and you did wrong. And that's what the program of Narcotics Anonymous always give us, another opportunity to get it right. As long as we don't really give up. Because sometimes, as recovering addicts, we fall from having good esteem to high esteem to low self-esteem. And then you put yourself out of the equation about for one little particular thing that you can't apologize for. Then you make it a resentment.
Come on.
So I had to learn through the years, like Bernie Mac said, long time ago, when you when you running the road and you speaking everywhere and you sleep with everybody, you ain't got no pigs. I ain't lived like that in a long time. Because when you get older, your body won't allow you to. Oh, I do real sin. I don't know what other people do. Because as a man, you know, you have to be relating to your mate if she is your mate. Because she's going to tell you some stuff about yourself that you will never hear in the meeting. And mine do that. And it's really blackmail if you try to respond. You make out better than saying okay. So when we get our lives together, we learn how to practice the spiritual principles of this program, but you should talk about when you don't. Don't make yourself look like you're walking the water here. Because ain't nobody that high, only God is up in that place. And then our personal relationship with God in the 11th step comes from our third step because we still practicing. Mm-hmm. See, if you get out of the practicing here, you'll think you start doing it.
All right. Mm.
And I ain't going to set myself up for that trap.
Come on.
It's no way possibly that I could have put the needle down and this showed up here. And some things have to happen. And sometimes you don't need to be trapped from your past. Sometimes our records in the program caught up with us and made us surrender again. And then, and sometimes when you pray, you need a quiet, sacred place. Sometimes my prayer is on my porch in the morning with the birds and saying nothing. And I think I do that once a day. It's just a practice. That we have things that happen in our lives that get us to the spiritual awakening. That's the result of working the steps. That's how we do the service we do. That's how we love on people we do. That's how we take care of the newer member and tell them, if I can get it, you can get it too. That's available. Because some of the newer members don't know that we practicing and working our butt off to stay here. Ain't no automatic. It ain't really no setup. It's willingness. And then it tells you in the 12th step, you got to do this. Words could never really explain some of the work we do when you get to the bottom of the 12th step. Because you got to do it every day, all the time, when people not looking. And then you got to be able to deal with your issues and realize they my issues. I cursed at that woman. I should apologize. I might not want to. And then sometimes guilt and shame get on you so bad, you feel like you going in denial. You know, I don't feel like I gotta apologize. And be dead wrong. So when you develop and get your emotional balance here, you be able to stand up and look the world in the eye. You know how we act on our jobs and where we go for to worship our Creator and all that stuff. We do it mostly here because this is a practicing ground.
That's right.
You got to grow spiritually by reaching out. No reach, no network, no sponsorship, no movement. So if you're a newer member, we share and we're going to love on you. But some members, I'm just saying, I'm that kind of member. I'm an in-your-face kind of guy. And then sometimes I lay back and hear everything you got to say. And then sometimes I tell you, that's bullshit. Then I'm going to wait on you. Because we leave the light on for people here.
That's right.
We got to wait on them to get ready. Because you're doing step work. Do not threaten people about what the work they're supposed to be doing. Whatever they're doing, that's what they're supposed to be doing. Even as sponsors, I have a lot of low maintenance men, so I gotta go to them with a gun and say, pick up the pen. Change is change. I've changed because I don't do the stuff I used to do. I make my life in the past tense Was is past tense. I used to be a hoe.
No.
Come on, man.
God will help you with your issues before I sit down. Because you know when you get old all the time, it might work sometime and it might not. See, you got to do things here for identification purposes. Exactly. You share for you, the newer member, us, people that need to be healed and get out of bondage. Mm-hmm. I ain't in bondage because of the maiden steps. I learned to love myself, and when I don't like myself that much, is a lot of members that's in the healing process, it still had nothing to do with clean time. That ain't a badge. The badge is, who did the work? That's who you use.
Come on.
So don't be insecure and put me somewhere. I ain't up there. And before I sit down, I had a guy in the meeting. He's deceased. He used to tell his sponsees, come back down here. He looked, and God missed him. He said, no, you need to bring your butt down here with us. We human people with recovery process trying to get better. Stay down here with us. You going up too high. You float. Come back down here with us. I'm an addict named Larry.
I would like to thank our speakers.